Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, July 10th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on page 50, the fourth full paragraph, beginning with the last line, one's confused and baffled by the seeming futility. And we're going to read four sentences ending with, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. We're going to read and comment on those four sentences this morning. Today's readers are Dorita P. reading the 12 steps, Sarah N. reading the 12 traditions, Mary Frances W. will be reading the text, Janice P.M. will be reading page 164, and Shelley E. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Jody E., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, July 9th, 2026, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,622 or 23622. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,624 or 23624. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Dorita P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Dorita.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Dorita P. And we will now ask Sarah N. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. This is Sarah N. from Sacramento, California, a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 50. We're going to start in that fourth full paragraph, the very last line there that says, once confused and baffled by the seeming futility, we're going to read 4 sentences and finish up with the end of that paragraph. They present a powerful reason why one should have faith. And we're going to read and we're going to comment on those 4 sentences this morning. And we will now ask Mary Frances W. to please begin reading. Hey, Mary Frances.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mary Frances W., and I'm a gratefully recovered, just for today, compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. Okay, our reading. Once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, they show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. They show how the change came over them. When many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. This is amazing. It piggybacks on where we started yesterday and the beginning of this, once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, that completely describes my life. And, you know, I remember my entire life, even as a child, a teenager, young adult, often feeling confused and baffled and not understanding why I felt different. I didn't fit in, why people treated me differently, why I treated people differently. We talked either yesterday or the day before about, you know, being open-minded, and yet when we sat and looked at it in our own families, we were very judgmental. And I came to realize this about my family. I thought we were so open-minded and yet we were not. So, you know, there were a lot of, confusing messages that I received growing up. And as a result, I was confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence. They show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. The underlying reasons, you could have not told me that my underlying reasons were because I was selfish and self-centered, that because I thought the world revolved around me, I thought I was the sweetest, kindest, friendliest, most generous person on this earth. And yet when I came to this program and worked this program, I realized I am those things, but a lot of times underneath those things are not the best motives. They were the motives to, you know, get what I wanted, which was many times for you to like me because I was so terrified that you would reject me. And that's just one example. Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. Yeah, it wasn't just about the food. It was never just about the food. I came to realize and came to believe in this program that I have this spiritual malady. And so it didn't matter how many times I dieted and lost the weight. I still had no inner peace. And as a result, anytime something, you know, happened, what did I do? I went back to the food. I didn't know another way. That was the way. That was how I coped. So when hundreds of people, when they're talking about the first 100 year, are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. I have goosebumps, gooseflesh right now, because I would not be in this place that I am today if it were not for God, the presence of God in my life today. And it was only through working these steps, through becoming completely honest. Okay, honesty. That's what I'll end with. Honesty. I had to get honest about who I am and what I am. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you so much for letting me be of service.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. What a great way to get us started. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes. This allows time for as many people as possible to share. I will remind you when your time is up. If you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Janice K.
Elena C.
Janice, where are you calling from? Janice K., where are you calling from?
It was Janice K. in Oregon.
Oregon, thank you so much. And Elena C., I got you, but where are you calling from?
South Carolina.
South Carolina, got you. Thank you.
Heidi C.,
Michelle,
Massachusetts.
Heidi C., and where are you from, Heidi?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. And did I hear Michelle?
Yes, Michelle WC in California.
Got you, Michelle. Thank you.
Heather K. in Pennsylvania.
Got you, Heather. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first round?
Robin H. in Boston.
All righty, Robin, got ya.
Michelle S., California.
And was that an S as in Serenity?
Yes, S as in Sam.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. All right, I've got Janice K., Elena C., Heidi C., Michelle W.C., Heather K., Robin H., and Michelle S. We'll go ahead and start with Janice K, followed by Elena C. Good morning, Janice.
Hi, this is Janice in Oregon. Sentence that grabs me is that last one. When many of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today an important fact of their lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have. And what struck me is that I was in a religious setting recently. Someone asked, what would you say to an atheist who doesn't believe in? I think I would say, well, of course you don't believe in. A lot of people who object to God have met only the domestic, civilized, commercial version, where he sits on a throne, grumpy and irritable, lightning bolts at people who displease him. God in the setting is huge and wild. And when he decides, when you move into his realm, a remarkable response. And I also love the term hundreds of people. I mean, I told them in this religious setting, you know, I would not bother to try to convince the atheist. I would ask the atheist to participate in the light of God. You've got to meet the wild version. You've got to meet the loves without restraint and gives without limit and just sitting and enjoying companionship. The presence of, how did they put that? Consciousness of the presence of God today is the most important fact of their lives. You know, trying to convince, it's not that I have to convince the atheist. It's that if the atheist sticks around long enough, they will find an acceptable venue or name or approach or, I hope. Because God in the wild is a magnificent thing. He won't be restricted. He won't follow rules. He will just love you. Or love. That's it. That's the important part. I need a wild, capable God who does nothing but just loves and accepts and guides me. The conscious awareness,
Janice,
of the
time.
Presence of God today, the most important thing in my existence. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. in Oregon. Next, we've got Elena C., followed by Heidi C. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, Elena C., grateful recovery for today in South Carolina. So I looked, making heavy going of life means that someone is finding life much harder than it needs to be or is struggling through everyday life with great difficulty. And, you know, I totally related to finding life much harder. It was because I wanted things to go my way, you know, and my problem boils down to one single, all my problems boil down to one single problem. I'm not getting my way. So I don't have to do that today because it's God's way of things. And that's what I need to pay attention to, especially when I struggle. I can be aware of, am I trying to get my way, you know? And if I do, I can shift onto the steps of recovery that will give me and will provide to me, and they are proven over and over again, the consciousness of the presence of God. I put God at the center of my universe, not another person, not myself, not material possession, not in anything else, but God, this is just one simple thing. And, you know, I wasn't built that way. I wasn't built to, well, I have to work at it to be able to put God at the center of my universe. And if I wouldn't come here to hear you guys, I wouldn't know. If I wouldn't have read this book, I wouldn't have known that. Because, you know, I'm just perhaps built to kind of think of what I would like, not what God would want for me. And I am so grateful I have this program today with that I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next, we've got Heidi C., followed by Michelle W. C. Good morning, Heidi.
Well, good morning. How are you today? Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thanks so much.
Oh, good. Okay. You never know. I'm only a year and a half in the program, but I just, first of all, the reading is so sweet, and I have to admit that the God thing has driven me absolutely nuts, but I actually have found my own higher power after 50 years of letting it go. And what is so beautiful in this reading and really fills me with what's happening over the past year is that the intellect is giving way to inspiration, and the inspiration is giving way to just heart. The fellowship just absolutely knocks me over. It's just so beautiful to hear true humility over arrogance. It's just, yeah. What it says in there is peace, happiness, sense of direction flows. It flows wholeheartedly. And I love what a previous speaker said, that I want a wild, comfortable God. I'm so grateful for this organization and for this vision. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
Well, thank you so much, Heidi C. from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Michelle W. C., followed by Heather K. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. Michelle W. C. in California. Similar to one of the previous callers, I also really related to that last line where God, you know, I think most the consciousness of the presence of God is the most important fact of my life. And it's a powerful reason why one should have faith. And I was thinking yesterday, I was talking with my friend's husband. I had a friend that passed away from leukemia in May, and he is grieving so hard. He just, you know, he loved her so much, and he prayed so hard for her to have the miracle. And, you know, unfortunately, she's, you know, suffered for 5 years. And he's really struggling with his faith. And I was
Michelle, we lost you. We can't hear you. Michelle, are you there? I can't hear you. Okay, well, I think we'll come back we'll check and see if Michelle's back on here in a minute. But in the interim, we'll go to Heather K.
Hi, this is Heather K. I'm a recovering compulsive reader from Pennsylvania. I'm pretty new to vision, and I usually listen to the 7 a.m. because I'm in Pennsylvania, but I happen to be driving, so I hope you can hear me okay.
We can hear you. It's kind of quiet, but
okay.
And a lot of background noise, but we can hear you.
I'll switch. Is that better?
Oh, my gosh, it's so much better. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. So, yeah, I'm pretty new to vision, but I don't know how to make, I want God to be the center of my universe, and I hope that the desire and the willingness is, because none of us do it perfectly, right? So, like, the desire for God, is prayer, and that the willingness to move closer and closer, to make God the center more and more is doing that. You know, I read these lofty words in the big book, and my mind just shows me how far I am from the mark all the time. And I am driving to see my brother, who is the last surviving member of my immediate family and is dying from compulsive overeating. And I haven't done a death without food of a family member. And that was the thought that came to my head while I was driving. I thought, I don't know how to do this without food, but I know that when I did it the other times with food, they were still dead at the end and I was sicker. So, you know, in this moment that being on this meeting, reading this book and praying is making God the center. And I don't have to figure out how I'm going to do this whole thing that way. I have to figure out how I'm going to do the next, you know, rest of this meeting. So I'm really glad you're all here. Thanks so much. And thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Heather K. And Michelle WC is back. Hey, Michelle, go for it.
Thanks. Hey, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. So I started to share that how, you know, the presence of God in my life is the most important thing. And in conversation yesterday with my friend's husband, my friend passed away from leukemia in May, and he's really struggling with his faith, and he's very angry at God right now in his grief for losing his wife. And, you know, just being able to be present with him and understanding his, you know, where he's coming from, his anger, and some of the frustrations of, you know, people not showing up the way that he would have liked them to show up. You know, being able to be present and hear that, and then being able to share with him about how I've come back to the faith that I grew up in and the church where I met my good friend as a child. And, you know, just being able to share how I feel like I've come back full circle. And I think, you know, I think it helped him a little bit to be able to vent on his and share from his point of view. And I hope I was able to give a little bit of hope, love, and compassion in his time of grief, that having the presence of God is really that search for comfort. And you can't find it in any food, drink, anything you buy, or anything else that you're searching for. That presence, that comfort and ease that I think we all search for really comes from a close relationship with God in our life. And so that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle WC in California. I'm glad you were able to get back on. Let's see. Next, we've got Robin H., followed by Michelle S. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone. I am Robin H., working, grateful to be working the steps in this program with support from everybody and just being part of the fellowship here in Boston. And not Boston, Massachusetts. And yeah, confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence. That is, looking back on my life, that's how I spent much of my life, just so confused. Why wasn't it working? Why wasn't I fitting in? Why was I so miserable? I was doing everything that I thought was right. And in the process, just making my life so restricted, and I restricted everything. I mean, not just food, but closed my heart off to everything and tried to access happiness through my own head and by controlling everything. And none of it worked. Not surprising, but none of it worked. And what I have learned and I'm learning and is being exposed to me and shown to me so much more now is that, like, my God doesn't have an agenda. Like, I don't need to figure anything out. I need to connect and listen. And that connection is so much easier when I get out of the way, when my ego gets out of the way, and when I try to stop doing it the way that I think it's supposed to be done. I mean, I know my God would never tell me this is how it has to be done, this is what you're supposed to do, other than just showing up and loving me, which has been a hard sell for me. But when I really hear, I had an opportunity over the weekend
and a 3.5 hour car ride just by myself, I thought, I'm just going to try to talk with God and see what happens. And it was the shortest and deepest 3.5 hour car ride I've ever taken. Because if I can just sit and
one more. Oh, sit. Sit.
Is that time? Is that
one more? Yeah. God,
I'm so sorry. That isn't time. And if everyone could please star one to mute, we can hear someone talking in the background. So sorry. Please keep going.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah. So when I can listen and connect and I guess sort of make a commitment really to myself and to my life and certainly to the lives of others, because when I am connected and I can sit with my God and I feel my God and I can allow that to happen, I mean, I'm just a much more pleasant person and I don't fight. And life is so much easier and freer without fighting. And that freedom comes not from trying to figure everything out or to fight to get that. It's actually the opposite. And it's just beautiful. And I just want to thank you all. And I hope everyone has a wonderful day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin H. from Boston. Next, we've got Michelle S. Good morning, Michelle. So, Michelle, can you hit star one to unmute, please?
I'm sorry. I thought I was unmuted. I was just talking away. Michelle okay. S. is in Sam in California, recovered compulsive overeater. And I don't get on live very often, so I'm feeling grateful to be with you guys today and to be able to share. What's speaking to me is the sentence, in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of human resources, and that's where I was on this last go around with food addiction. Before coming to Visions, I was in total despair, complete collapse. And I have to say that every single time I've turned to my higher power and I said, hey, I need help, my higher power has shown up. And my higher power led me to Visions and to my Visions sponsor, which has just been a blessing. And what's also speaking to me is it says, to do certain simple things. And then a little bit down, a little further in that paragraph, it says, this happened soon after the wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. The simple things and the simple requirements is the steps. And they are simple. They're very simple, but they're not easy. But if we have the courage and the faith and the willingness to do the steps, we get, as it says here, they present, we get this way of life that we don't have to have the making heavy going, reasons why they were making heavy going of life. My life is not heavy any longer because of me doing these simple things and a few simple requirements. I have the peace. And then at the end, it says, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. And I have written in my book, faith gives me hope. And there is a tremendous amount of hope to be neutral around the food and not to have that heavy life of thinking where I'm going to get it, how I'm going to get it, how I'm going to hide it, who's going to see me, oh my God. They're going to smell, you know, getting it out of the trash. All of these rock bottom behaviors that sent me to collapse and despair, they don't happen anymore. And that's the hope and that's the faith. And that's only because I was willing to do a few simple things and a few simple requirements. The answer is in these steps and truly turning it over to a higher power and remaining surrendered. Like, okay, God, what's in store today? And I'm going to stop there. Thank you so much for being here today and welcome to all the newcomers. Thank you.
Oh, perfect timing, Michelle S. from California. And before we get some more names, let me remind you where we're at. We are in the Big Book, Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on page 50. The fourth full paragraph, we read that last line beginning with, once confused and baffled by the seeming futility. We read four sentences to the end of the paragraph, ending with, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. And we read those four sentences, and that's what we're sharing on. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Jordan L.
I've got you, Jordan, and that's Colorado, right?
It is.
All right, awesome. Thank you.
Lisa N. in Georgia.
Lisa N. in Georgia, and that's N as in Nancy, right?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Julie B., Ohio.
Got you, Julie B. from Ohio.
Joan B. from the Caribbean.
I'm sorry, can you repeat your name, please?
It's Joan B. from the Caribbean.
Joan B. as in boy?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And I think from the Caribbean. From the Caribbean. Gotcha. I think we'll stop there. I've got Jordan L., Lisa N., Julie B., and Joan B. We'll start with Jordan L., followed by Lisa N. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. Yeah, and I was thinking about these words here. They do sound a little bit lofty, don't they? But I don't know. Anytime I start thinking that the Big Book is sounding a little bit too lofty, I remember that it was written by a bunch of drunks. And that kind of, that helps even it out a bit, if you will. They were just a bunch of drunks, you know? And the only reason that they bothered writing it was because, one, they knew others were still suffering, and two, they really felt like they had experienced this miracle, you know? Like, they stopped drinking. When so many of them had tried on their own power and failed, it was pretty, you know, there was a lot of power in this sort of collective unit that was staying sober and talking about this presence of this higher power, right? And I know, like, it really is about coming to believe, like, this is a process, and it happens over time, and it takes time. It's not something that happens overnight by any means. And so it's really important that when I get here, I'm willing to, like, start with wherever I'm at, you know, and willing to kind of break it down to what's the next right thing that I need to be worried about. And I'll eventually get to that place, you know, where I'm one of those people that has realized that the presence of this God, of my understanding, is the most important fact in my life, you know. I'll get there with, like, some time and putting some energy and effort into this relationship. So, anyway, that's what I was thinking about. Thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Well, thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Next, we've got Lisa N., followed by Julie B. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Lisa. Lisa N., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. The line that I have highlighted in my big book is, they show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. And like the lead share, what I'm thinking they mean, like the lead chair shared, is I think they're talking about character defects here. I mean, I know that's what it was for me. You know, it was those darn character defects. And, you know, so putting aside the eating question, those first 100 tell why living was so unsatisfactory. Yeah. Selfish. I'm dishonest. I'm self-seeking and I'm full of fear. At least that's my interpretation of what they're talking about here. But here's the beautiful thing. You know, for me, you know, where those character defects were coming into play were, I selfish. I wanted to run the show. I wanted to eat certain things and participate in certain behaviors that I couldn't get abstinent, you know, until I put them down. I couldn't get entirely absent until I put them down. And then when I did, you know, I mean, it's really just amazing. When I did that, and then, you know, like the previous paragraph, I met a few simple requirements, which I think they're talking about the steps. The relationship with the higher power, this thing happened without me doing anything, you know? And when I love this paragraph, I used to be so jealous of people who would say that the presence of God was the most important thing in their life today. I used to be like, oh man, like I wish I could say that. I wish I could have that, you know? And today, oh my gosh, it is. And it gets better all the time. I feel safe and protected. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on in my life right now. You know, my 18-year-old son just came back to Georgia. I there's so much stuff going on, and I'm doing more 10 steps than ever these days, but I feel safe and protected. And that is because I really do. I feel that consciousness of God, and I'm just so grateful for it. All I had to do, entire abstinence, and I worked the steps, and it happened. All right, thanks for letting me share. I pass, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm from Georgia. Next, we've got Julie B., followed by Joan B. Good morning, Julie.
Thank you so much, Julie B., recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio, and I'm happy to say that our little meeting that we have in person right now, we turned on a vision to just listen to recovery this morning, so you guys are all in this room with us. you know, for me, like, just this paragraph is tougher. It's not an easy one for me to understand or to pick out, but to be fair, like, given time, I will forget all paragraphs of the big book. It just leaves me, and I don't, if I were to even try to summarize what I've read so far of the big book, you know, the first 164 pages, like, I could not, seriously, I don't even know if I could even put it into words, a lot of it. But, you know, these men and women have stopped drinking, and for me, that includes not only drinking, but also eating. And that means they've stopped drawing the curtains and eating all this fast food laid out in front of them. That means that they've stopped the crazy cycle of turning to every diet program and workout program and over-exercising and trying to get rid of the compulsive overeating. And I know that for me, a part of my disease is, instead of speaking, I would eat. And so a lot of my recovery now is speaking to how I feel and what's going on with me. And I do that through you guys. Like, I can call you and I can tell you really quickly, like, you know, what's going on, and I can get really deep instead of trying to push it down with food. When I read, like, the consciousness of the presence of God, most important part of my life, like, I think about those times in my home or in my kitchen or at work when I am really disturbed or something happened that I don't like and someone put something somewhere that's not where that goes, and what that can do to me, I can just start spinning out. And so, you know, for me, the simple steps it talks about, it's like the steps of, you know, step 11, like, I pray for his knowledge of his will and then the power. So in those moments, you know, it's kind of my job to just kind of pause and go, homegirl can't handle this by yourself. You know, I'm going under, God. I'm drowning. And that is my way, my visual in my own mind of me going, I'm in water, I'm drowning, and me admitting powerlessness is me going, there's something grabbing me and I'm going to the bottom. And every time, every single time God puts me back, he saves me. He puts me back on that dry land and gives me that desire to move forward and to do something else besides indulge in those feelings and those actions. With that, I pass, and I am an available sponsor. Thank you, Julie B. from Ohio.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Julie B. and friends. We're so glad that we got your whole meeting joining us this morning. It's so cool. Next, we've got Joan B. Good morning, Joan. Joan, can you hit star one to unmute, please? I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now, and we have about 2 minutes left. So if you could take
okay,
2 minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great.
I'm Joan from the Caribbean, and I'm a newcomer to the meeting. This is my second meeting that I've talked on because I've a weird 3-day gap. And I really accept that I'm very grateful that I am not throwing up and haven't for the last 4 days. I don't have a food plan together yet or sponsors together, but I love the honesty that I hear on this meeting. Someone shared previously that you can just get straight into it, dive deep, and that's the kind of person that I am. I'm not good with surface social chit-chat, so I'm just grateful to be in a program where I hear so much honesty, and it helps me to be honest rather than trying to put on a good face. And my face is not really great right now. But it's a very grateful face because I am not throwing up today. And with that, I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Joan B. from the Caribbean. And we're so glad that you're here. Keep coming back. And yeah, I guess we're at time. So we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see here, Janice P.M., can you please read A Vision for You?
I certainly will, thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meeting, your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.